in Alberta for much of the week, working there, and I thank the Lord for safety on the roads. And the work I was doing was pretty quiet, so I did what work I had to do, and then I was able to spend the majority of the time on ministry-related things, sitting there working on my computer. And I was told ahead of time, you bring something to do, because you'll get bored. So that's what my boss told me, so yeah, it was good. And got a chance to spend some time with my in-laws there in Alberta. I have to confess, I missed prayer meeting on Wednesday. I got off work. I got off work half an hour early. They said, if you want to leave early, you can. And so I did. And that was time and a half work that I left behind. And I made a beeline for church. I got there. I'm like, this looks really small today. What's going on? I get in the basement of the church. Church lights are all, it's dark. I go upstairs. There's not a soul in the church building. I'm like, is this Wednesday? Is this Tuesday or is this Thursday? What day is this? I go to my in-law's house. Their house is locked. I'm like, what's going on here? My father-in-law later asked me, did you wonder if the rapture had come? And I said, no, didn't even cross my mind, because I'll be there. But anyway, I guess they had a church picnic at one of the other members' houses, and they had their prayer meeting there. And so I didn't get the memo. So anyway, but I had a good time with my in-laws, and it was good. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at faithfulness again. We've looked at it for 2 weeks now, and normally I would have started a new topic for July, but I just had material already prepared that I wanted to go over in the area of our faithfulness. So the first week we looked at faithfulness, we looked at God's faithfulness to us. You know, one of the big areas we looked at was how we are held by His power. A Christian never has to worry. If they have repented of being a sinner, put their trust in Christ, they're held by the power of God. It's not something that they can lose. It's not something that God can, or that someone can take away from them. God is faithful. And He promises that He will protect us and bring the believer to heaven at that time. Then we looked at, on Father's Day, we looked at being a faithful father, as Abraham was, and others. Today we're going to look at particularly of the faithful believer. And I was thinking, as we were singing our songs today, we sang two songs, particularly The Lily of the Valley, 447, Saved by the Blood, and in there was elements of God's faithfulness. And then the last two songs, Will Jesus Find Us Watching? Will He Find Us Faithful? And then we sang, Have I Done My Best for Jesus? Again, that speaks of our faithfulness. Our text this morning was from Psalms 92, and we read here about God's faithfulness, and what's our part? In verses 1 and 2 in particular, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, and to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. You know, sometimes the night can be the most, in certain circumstances, it can be the scariest part. And so if He'll be faithful in the night times, He'll be faithful in the day times. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to sing praises, to give thanks. Sing praises. Show forth thy loving kindness and thy faithfulness. Well, that's one of the things we do when we're singing. And, you know, we've got to be so careful not to get into a rut, especially when we know that we can sing without even looking at the words sometimes, once you get to know a song. And you can kind of go into autopilot, where it's just your lips, or it's kind of a trained thing, and you know what words are coming next, and you feed it ahead to the lips, but your mind is somewhere else. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be meditating on what we're singing. And it's to be from our heart, not just from the songwriter's heart, you know, whether it be Charles Wesley or others that penned the song. It's not just from them. It's supposed to be like a prayer of our heart coming forth. It's one of our duties is to sing praises about God for his faithfulness. You know, being the whole area of being faithful is being trustworthy under testing. Trustworthy under testing. It's nothing for a person to be trustworthy on a good day when everything's going well, but it's when something goes wrong that we are tempted to be unfaithful. Well, I thank God that God is always faithful. He is always there. He can be relied upon 100%. As we go into this message, I encourage each one of us to think on it and say, am I faithful? Am I faithful to, like, let's say we're person's married and they have children and they've got a spouse. Am I faithful to my spouse? Am I faithful to my children? Am I faithful to God? Am I faithful to the local body of believers? And of course, faithfulness to God comes number one. And then faithfulness to our family. Are we faithful to someone when we're face to face with them? Or are we faithful when they're around the corner from us and they can't hear us, they can't see us? Declaring his faithfulness. There's a number of verses that speak to this whole matter of declaring God's faithfulness. Psalms 40, verse 10. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I have not hid it within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Psalms 81:9, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You know, it comes in the way of singing, as I mentioned a moment ago, but it also comes by way of verbal communications. You know, when God does something for us, We ought to declare his faithfulness. We don't say, wow, that was just so lucky that God spared my life, or that my life was spared. Or what a coincidence that this happened. No. Give the honor where it belongs. Give God the honor and say, wow, God was so good to me. When this event happened, he showed himself strong. And not just with our church family that we tell each other these things, and we should, but the world around us. Let them know what our God is like. Let them know how our God how he has spared us by sending his son to die on the cross. We read from Psalms chapter 40, verse 10, I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Tell people about his faithfulness. Tell people about his salvation, how he has saved your soul, how he has given you a home in heaven. Not everyone will want to hear it. And there might be times where you won't be able to declare his faithfulness. Maybe they'll kind of shut you down. But as you have ability and opportunity, say that little word about God's faithfulness. Sometimes it may only be able to be a small little word. I mentioned to you some time ago about how when I was in Israel, how I got a chance to meet an Amish, a formerly Amish man, who now became a Baptist pastor. And he moved from being Amish to trusting Christ as his Savior because he saw that in the Amish faith there was no assurance of salvation. And he also learned that in that faith, it was a works-based salvation where you had to do X, Y, and Z in order to get to heaven. But one of the things that brought him to salvation was the man that he hired to drive him into town. And I found it funny because he said, we Amish, we won't sin, to drive a car, but we don't mind paying a Mennonite driver to send for us. He's kind of being a little satirical there. But this Mennonite man that drove him, he would just say a little word like, "Boy, I'm so glad that when I die, I know I'm going to heaven." Just that little word about God's faithfulness. And this Amish man said, "Well, wait a second. The Bible doesn't say that. You don't know for sure you're going to heaven. That's being presumptuous." And then, you know, you quote verses like 1 John 1:9, "That you may know that you have eternal life." And he's like, "Oh, I'll look that up when I get home." And he looks it up. He's like, "Whoa." Then that Mennonite driver would say something else, and he'd say, "No, that's not true." And he'd quote another verse, and he'd get back home. He goes, "Oh, wow." So those little words sometimes about God's faithfulness can be what strikes the heart. I mean, we should look for opportunities to give the full gospel, the whole gospel. But then there are those times when we can't. And just that word. One thing we read about in Scripture, and we know from personal example, is that faithful people are hard to come by. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who could find?" We're so ready to tell people about our goodness, how good we are, how smart we are, how strong we are, how intelligent we are. But the Bible says here, "But a faithful man, who can find?" You know, I recently listened to an audio book. It was interesting. It was also very sad. It had some portraits of the human mind and soul and actions that were not complimentary. But it was kind of like it was raw. It spoke the truth as it was during the Holocaust times. And it was written by someone who, at the age of 15, a young man, he and his parents were taken to a Nazi concentration camp. And most of the Jews, they felt abandoned by the world, and many even at that time by God, during that time of great evil. And this man, he was open. He even told some of the things that he thought, the things that he did, some of the ways in which he did not stand up for his father when his father was being beaten, and how it hurt him after the fact that he didn't stand up for him. But one of the things that he said that I found interesting was that they felt abandoned by everyone. He says there was only one person that he felt that he could trust, only one person that he could rely upon to keep his word. And it's not someone you would imagine. You know, at the time when nations closed their doors to the Jewish people that were trying to outrun the atrocities in Europe, there's only one man that was keeping his promise, and that was Hitler. He said he's doing exactly what he said he's going to do. Obviously, that type of faithfulness is not the type of faithfulness that we are trying to emulate. It's not something we associate with godly faithfulness. But as the Scripture says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, "But a faithful man, who can find?" A faithful man, who can find? Are we faithful? Are we faithful? Let's take a look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. You know the story about how Daniel was little by little elevated into positions of leadership and authority in Babylon, in Persia, through the different kings that ruled. And we read in Daniel chapter 6 that King Darius had set Daniel over 120 princes. And those 120 princes were over the whole kingdom. So Daniel was in a great position of authority. You had the 120 princes, you had three presidents, then you had Daniel. And then you had the king, King Darius. Well, those princes and those presidents, they became very envious of Daniel. Now, if one of them had been in Daniel's place, everyone else would have been envious of that one person. But everyone's, their envy, their lust, their hatred, all pointed to the man at the top, the man that liaisoned directly with the king. And we know how they looked for occasion against him. In verse 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And I imagine that it was not just a little look into Daniel's life, but they must have had their spies everywhere. You tell me if that man does anything wrong, and you bring your witnesses, because we are looking for some dirt on this man. Well, did they find anything? They all wanted a piece of what Daniel had. So they were focused at finding some fault in him. But what the scripture says? But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, are we talking about a man who never made mistakes? No, I'm sure Daniel was like us. I'm sure he made mistakes. But when he made mistakes, he would have dealt with it and said, you know, King Darius or whoever he had to deal with, you know, I made a mistake here. Sorry, I'll make reparations. I will make up for it. He was faithful. They couldn't find any fault in him. Kind of reminds me of Joseph's 11 brothers, in a way, to a much lesser degree. But you know how Joseph was in a position of favor with his father, Jacob. And they hated that. They saw the favoritism, and they were upset with him. I think they probably were watching Joseph as these presidents were watching him, looking for some occasion to find dirt on him. Well, every Christian should be okay with having their life open and transparent. We should never worry about what people will see. We should be open and transparent. We should be faithful in our dealings, as Daniel was. No error, no fault found in him, for as much as he was faithful. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Faithful in the Lord. Now, this is a fairly broad category. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, otherwise known as Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I think this is a broad category. It would refer to the preaching of the gospel. We refer to doctrinal purity. You know, Paul is saying here of Timothy that he was faithful in the word of God. He would not bend it. He would not change it. He would not adapt it. He said, I've got this man. He's faithful. He'll preach exactly the same things that I am preaching. You can trust him. And it's not just the matter of salvation, not just the matter of the doctrines, but also manner of living. You notice there, he shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. My ways also. What manner of living, manner of life. He is faithful. He can be counted upon. He doesn't live a double standard. He doesn't come to church and, you know, dress all up nice and pretty and look like the ultimate Christian and then go home and live a totally different life. He doesn't do that. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So, the Apostle Paul found Timothy to be faithful. So what did he do? He taught him, he mentored him, he trained him, and then he sent him out. And then he told Timothy, he says, you do the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. He says, find faithful men and teach them those things so that they can teach the next generation. So we're to be faithful ourselves. Then we're to look for those who are also faithful and who could be entrusted with spiritual things and with spiritual responsibilities. And same thing here. One of our goals is to see people saved, see them discipled, brought up in the ways of the Lord, and then trained to be effective witnesses and to be grounded in the meat of the Word so that they can disciple new Christians through the milk of the Word and into the meat of the Word. Let's go back into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're told to be faithful stewards. A steward is a servant with responsibility. And we're told here that we are to be a servant with responsibility. And we're supposed to be faithful at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I believe here the Apostle Paul is speaking particularly about himself and his ministry team. And he's saying, account us as stewards. He says, and it is imperative, it is required in verse 2, that a man be found faithful. Servants with responsibility. Stewards of the mysteries of God. You know, whether a person is in service as a minister, as a deacon, as a Sunday school teacher, some other area of service, whatever that area is, we need to be faithful to that job. Sometimes we can be lured into thinking that, well, we're volunteering for this job, so I can pick it up, I can put it down, I can sort of neglect it, let it run up by itself for a while, because I am volunteering, I'm not getting paid for it, so it's okay. We can have that attitude, that we can be lured into that sense of thinking, but it's not godly. If God gives us a particular task to do, we need to be faithful at it, don't we? I remember hearing a story once about a lady in a church who had a responsibility and bookkeeping, I believe it was, and just decided that she was done, and she left the books at the front pew and didn't say anything about it. Just you know, figured that the pastor would figure out what it meant. And you know, when the pastor went to give the books back, you know, she said, "Oh no, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore." You know, when we take on a responsibility, there certainly are times when we pick up a responsibility, and then maybe health, or job situations, or family situations, make it such that we can't carry on with that responsibility, and we have to give it back. But there's a proper way to take a responsibility, a proper way to give it back. And when we have that responsibility in our hand, to hold on to it and to be faithful at it, not to do it piecemeal or part, you know, part here, part there, but just to be fixated on it and doing that responsibility. We all remember that When a person is doing a responsibility in the local church, it's not a matter of being faithful to the church. It's not a matter of being faithful to the pastor. It's a matter of being faithful to God. And when we are faithful to God, we will be faithful to the pastor, we'll be faithful to the church as a whole. But the important thing is to be faithful to God. We still have to work under the leadership of that local church. We can't go out and do it our own way and be a lone ranger and say, well, I know this is the way it was set. These were the guidelines. These were the parameters I was given, but I'm changing it. I'm doing it differently. No, we don't work that way. By being faithful to God, we'll be faithful to the church. There's the area of being a faithful friend. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. And we know, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, that there's a time to not conceal a matter. There's a time to bring a matter forth. Like, let's say a criminal offense has occurred. We don't bury those types of things. We don't, you know, in some of these other churches, you'll see it in the news where you know, someone has committed a criminal offense, and the leadership of their denomination or church will then try to hide it and maybe send that person somewhere else where they will most likely do that same thing. When it's a criminal offense, we deal with it properly. We report it to the authorities. But then there are those times when we know that, let's say someone lied and they did something wrong. Let's say they lied to you. They did something wrong to you. That's just a matter of dealing one-on-one with that person and bringing it to them. And it's not a matter of heralding it and telling everybody. We conceal the matter. We let it go. There's others in the church that there's particular mention of that are to be faithful in Titus 1:6. There's the children of the pastor. Of course, the pastor and his wife, they have to be faithful. Titus 1:6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Faithful children. That's one of the things that a pastor is supposed to have. another area is the deacon, he's supposed to be faithful. The deacon's wife is supposed to be faithful. 1 Timothy 3:11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. These are things that God wants of every single believer. But he has kind of highlighted some of the areas. But let's not think, well, that's not my portfolio, so I don't have to be faithful. It's something God wants in everyone. Proverbs 14:5 speaks about the faithful witness. Proverbs 14:5. Now, this could be the faithful witness that stands up in a court of law and says, this is what I saw on such and such a day. But it can refer to other things as well. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Faithful witness will not lie. In any matter. You know, whenever a believer is in a bind and is called upon to give an explanation or to recall an event, it is the truth that should leap to their lips. Not something to cover it up. Not a lie. The first thing that should come to their lips is the truth. Those of you that are parents, I know each of you have and if you haven't already encountered it, it's just a matter of time. But we'll encounter a child, or maybe all of your children, at a certain stage of your life, that when they're in a bind, and when they're called on the carpet to give an explanation for what happened, a lie springs to their lips, not the truth. Out of fear. The lie comes first. But for the believer, We have to be rooted and grounded in truthfulness. And it's the truth that needs to come to our lips. I remember a time when I did something, I've only knowingly one time gone against company protocols and procedures in EMS, and we were categorically told not to do it. But a woman had died in April of 2000 that we had in our care, and it was because we did not carry a certain drug that me and my partner were taught, trained, and certified to use. But our service did not have, in my opinion, due to slothfulness, had not gone through the steps to become certified. And we lost that one patient. Then we had another patient 4 months later that was in the exact same sort of situation. It was to do with blood sugars. And that patient would have died, I am convinced, based on the timeline, how long it would take us to get that patient to the hospital. And we got another ambulance to meet us with the drug that we needed, and we had permission from the hospital. And our boss got in there, and he saw what we were about to do, and he said, "No, you're not doing that at all. Our service is not certified to do that." He says, "Rapid transport now." So we ended up transporting around the bend, and we ended up pushing that drug, and we believe saved that person's life. And you know, sometimes you make those critical decisions at the time, and I told my partner, I said, whatever the case, we have to be 100% truthful about this. And I was asked the very next day, "So tell me the rest of the story. What happened?" We gave the drug. You know, the truth must come to the has to become to our lips. We cannot lie and say, you know, "I don't know, this patient just seemed to miraculously get better." You know, we have the truth as what has to come to our lips each time. We have to be faithful. And I know that could be a black mark against me and my partner, what we did, but that was what happened. And you know, being honest is, we've got to be honest. My point is that even when we're in a pinch, we're in a bind, the truth must come forward, not a lie. We're all supposed to be a faithful witness of the gospel. We know of the Great Commission, found in various places, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 in particular, those two. You know, every one of us, that's not just pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers. This is your duty. This is everyone's duty to tell the good news of salvation. We're to be faithful, a faithful witness in that. And sometimes to step out of our comfort zone and go talk to somebody about the Lord. We're to give, as we are able, we are to give a full account of the gospel. You know, there are times when we want to give the gospel and we don't have the opportunity. I was sitting with Brother Weaver yesterday over at the Ponderosa. He's there for a short time while they had some problems with flooding. And there was a lady sitting next to us at this table, and I had a burden to give her the gospel, but she ended up wheeling away before the opportunity came. And so there will be those times when we have a desire, a goal, but the opportunity leaves us before we even have a chance to give it. I don't know about you, sometimes I've been saddened thinking back to the people that have, from previous generations that have died, and you know, sometimes you'll see that they were agnostics, that they were atheists, and you say, "Oh man, I so wish that I could have given them the gospel." But you know that the truth of the matter is that I'm not responsible for the generations behind me, for those that have died before I had the opportunity to give them the gospel. I'm not responsible for them. There were Christians in that generation that were responsible to meet their needs, to give them the gospel, tell them the way of salvation. But there are billions alive right now that need the gospel. I am responsible to give the good news, to be a faithful witness to this generation. I think of the verse here. It doesn't speak specifically about being a faithful witness, But I love this verse, Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. The context of that passage is talking about how Jesus Christ would not see corruption. And it's this passage is saying that the prophecies from the Psalms that spoke of David not seeing corruption is not talking about David, King David. It's talking about the son of David, Jesus Christ, that was going to come later. But the point of this, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, we are to serve our generation. And not just, that doesn't mean those in my age category, those 40 to 45 or, you know, whatever. It's those in my lifetime, whether it be children, whether it be teenagers, whether it be young people, whether it be adults, whether it be senior citizens, those in my life. We are to impact those that we have opportunity to impact within our life. Those are the ones we're responsible for. We might have an opportunity to affect future generations that come even after we die by having brought souls to the Lord that will then go and witness to others. You might witness to Joe Smith, and Joe Smith might get saved, and Joe Smith might witness to 10 people, and 2 people might get saved, and you know, you can have an impact that way. We're to be a faithful witness of the gospel in our generation. A faithful witness to give the whole gospel, not to dilute it, not to make it more palatable, not to try to smooth out some of the rough corners. The gospel has rough corners. It has things that bother us. You know, I was just reading this morning in Psalms chapter 10. It's kind of, it feels like a sister verse to John chapter 3 when it talks about those that are lovers of darkness. But in Psalms chapter 10, in verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. There are so many people that don't want to hear the gospel. We are just to be faithful to give them that gospel. Even though there's those rough edges, even though there's the stumbling stone of the cross, the rock of offense that people get offended at, that say, well, I don't need a savior. I'm a good person. Why would I need a savior? You know? We have to show them the fact that they are a sinner, that they are condemned. Not to make them just feel bad about themselves, but so that they'll come to the cross of Christ. Some of the benefits of faithfulness. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Well, we're all ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. Each one of us is an ambassador. Ambassador is someone that represents somebody else. We are, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are a Christian. And as a Christian, you represent Christ. And we pray, people in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Get right with God. Come to God. Come in repentance and faith. Another benefit of faithfulness is a faithful messenger is refreshing. Psalms chapter 25, verse 13. As the cold of snow in time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Boy, think about that. Refreshing the soul of God. Having him look down on us and say, well done. Well done. What you just did. Also, another reward of faithfulness is the faithful person will be blessed. It's not why we do it. We do it because we love him. We love Christ. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. I mean, that verse has much to say there. The first half talks about how if we're faithful, we will abound with blessings. And then we're told we're not to hasten to be rich. And there are so many people that try that route. You see them lining up at the kiosks, the Lotto 649, trying to be rich right now, tomorrow. Besides the point, looking at the first half there, faithful man shall abound with blessings. That's all we need to focus on, is being faithful. Faithfulness is blessed by God. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You know, the principle is that if we are faithful in the small things, we'll be faithful in the big things. I think of an EMT that I used to work with. And, you know, he was such a hardworking man. He was very faithful. You should have seen him cleaning toilets. I've never seen anyone clean toilets the way he did it. Just giving her hard. And sometimes, got all over the floor. I mean, you know, and he had a mop going. But he just working up a sweat. And he was a great example in small things. Cleaning toilets. Cleaning the glass in the bathroom at our base. Now he's like a staff sergeant with the Edmonton Police. He was faithful in the small things. Now he's been given great responsibility as a police officer and in authority over other police officers. And Luke 19, verse 17. This is the parable of the talents. And he, that's the governor, the ruler, he said unto him, Well, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He says, you are faithful in a small thing, I'm going to give you great authority. So before we seek to have great authority in large areas, to be faithful in large areas, we need to be faithful in the small things. Just faithful. Always doing it. Always dependable. Always there. Pastor Valsenior read from Revelation 3:12. You know, it says, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. That spiritual pillar. He that overcometh. He that is faithful is what that is speaking of. As we close, how are you in the area of faithfulness? I know that I need, definitely areas that I need to work on in my life to be more faithful, more dependable. Can you look at yourself and say, yes, there's some areas in my life I need to be more dependable. I need to be able, if I've taken on a responsibility, I need to do that. I need to follow up with it. I can't let it just coast. I cannot just let it idle and hope that it will take care of itself or hope that someone else will take care of it. Do you sing and shout the praises of God for his faithfulness? Do you look for his faithfulness? When you're singing, are you an automaton? Are you just robotically singing? That's dead singing. We don't want that. I don't want to sing that way. None of us should want to sing that way. It should be with enthusiasm. Heartily as unto the Lord. We're told to do everything heartily as unto the Lord. Do you sing forth his faithfulness? Are you excited about his faithfulness? You know, I think that's an area where we could really spend some time meditating, thinking about God's faithfulness to us. And just looking at his faithfulness in the way of salvation of our souls. Looking at his faithfulness as to the families that he's put us into, the putting a house over our head, a roof over our head, I should say, the daily provisions. You know, just spend some time researching some of the countries around the world that where we would be viewed as being rich. You know, what they have, so meager what they have. Think of that, God's faithfulness to us. Ask Brother Kuiper to come with a closing song of invitation.